please stand? Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. This is the second Sunday in Advent. We are getting closer and closer to our celebration of Christmas. And as we just sang, today we are going to be talking a little bit about John the Baptist, who announced the coming of our Lord. Today our worship is going to follow Divine Service Setting 2. Which begins in your hymnal on page 167. And we begin, as always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the introit. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill them. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not listen to me. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. We turn now to our Advent hymn, number 332, Savior of the Nations Come. We sing verses 1, 2, and 8. Please remain standing. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, our first candle that was lit on the Advent wreath was the candle that we called the prophecy candle, also known as the candle of hope, reminding us that in the coming of Jesus Christ, our God does keep his promises. Our second candle is called the Bethlehem candle. This candle bids us to hear the word of God with penitent and faithful hearts, and so to make ready for the coming of the Lord. It is also known as the candle of peace, since it was just outside Bethlehem where the angels proclaimed peace on earth and mercy mild. So I'm going to invite our acolyte to light our first two candles today. The Old Testament reading appointed for the second Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn now to the gradual and we speak these words responsively. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And we sing the verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading that we just heard from Luke chapter 3. And this is one of the passages where we get introduced to Mr. Advent himself, John the Baptist, whose entire purpose is to announce the coming of Jesus. We see the way that John the Baptist is described and how his voice is being used by the Holy Spirit to wake people up, to get them ready to see Jesus. And so that same Holy Spirit who inspired John all those years ago continues to preach to us today, to wake us up, to get us ready, because our Lord Jesus is coming again. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is it that thrills you? Out of all these things that you get to experience in your life, what is it that really gets your heart pumping? What are the things that get you on the edge of your seat, the things that get the adrenaline coursing through your veins and the little hairs on the back of your neck standing up? What is it for you? Now, I know that because we're all different people, we're all going to have different answers to that question. And, you know, it kind of depends on who you are and what your situation is. I've been thinking about this weekend. You know, there's a lot of people in our congregation and around in our community that, for them, you know, they've been doing some hunting recently, right? So maybe for them, the moment is you're sitting in the deer stand, right? And you hear like the snapping of a twig, and you look up and you see that 16-point buck, right? Yeah, maybe that's what gets you all excited, right? Maybe if you're a sports fan, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon during football season. Maybe you're going to be watching some football later today. Your favorite team makes that last drive in the fourth quarter to win the game, right? Maybe that's what's really exciting for you. Maybe you're feeling that moment right now, right? Maybe it's like, yes, I get to hear another sermon from Pastor Wallenberg today, right? Hold on to your hats, folks, because it doesn't get any more thrilling than this, I'll tell you. And speaking of the word thrilling, that's the word of the day, thrilling. That's the key word in our hymn of the day. So we're continuing our journey through these Advent hymns during this whole season. And today, we're going to be taking a look at hymn number 345. So if you have your hymnal, I want you to grab it and have it handy. We're going to be going through hymn number 345 together today. This hymn is by far the oldest out of the handful of hymns that we have looked at so far this Advent season. It's so old, we're not actually 100% sure exactly when it was written. We do know for sure that it's at least 1,000 years old. So that's already pretty impressive, I would say. The name of the hymn is Hark a Thrilling, there's that word, a thrilling voice is sounding. And so the thrilling voice that we're talking about, the voice that for us as Christians is supposed to give us goosebumps, right, and get us all jazzed up, that voice is supposed to be represented by the voice of the one who is on the cover of your bulletin today. I just mentioned John the Baptist. It's his voice, his thrilling voice, crying out in the wilderness to the crowd, just as he does in our gospel text here in Luke 3. Just a couple other quick notes about this hymn. It was originally written in Latin, and just like we don't know who exactly or when it was written, we don't know who wrote it either, right? And so there's been a number of people who have tried to figure this out. Some have suggested that it could have been written by a guy named Ambrose. If you've never heard of that name before, Ambrose was a bishop in Milan in Italy way back in the 300s AD, right? So if this actually is a hymn written by Ambrose, boy, that's really, really, really old, right? But the tune that we're about to sing, the music of the hymn is like brand new compared to the text. So the song, the tune, was written just, you know, yesterday in 1850, right? So in the grand scheme of things, you know, what's a couple hundred years when you're talking about church history? So anyway, that's enough fun facts about the hymn. We're going to go ahead and sing stanza one together. All right, so let's go back to that word thrilling, okay? I was doing a little bit of research on this hymn, and I figured out that in the original English translation, so the first time it was taken from the Latin to the English, the word that was used in the first line actually wasn't thrilling. The word that was used was awful. Hark, an awful voice is sounding, right? Which makes it sound like John the Baptist is out in the wilderness doing really bad karaoke or something like that, right? Hark, an awful voice is sounding. Now, we know that the meanings of words can change over time. And so when this was first translated into English, the thought behind awful is not that this was some awful voice that can't carry a tune or something like that, but it's an awful voice that fills me with awe and wonder. That kind of way of thinking about awful. So I was thinking about that and how the things that fill me with awe and wonder, the things that tend to thrill me these days are a lot different from the things that I found thrilling when I was a kid, right? And certainly a lot different from the things that my own children find thrilling. And I think a really great example of this is with all of these Christmas light displays that are up around these days. So the other day, we took the kids up to Carlisle to see the lights in the park up there. That's kind of become one of our favorite things that we do as a family over these last few years, take the kids to Carlisle. And anyway, so we were driving through the lights up there, and you know, you look around at all of these lights, and it really is thrilling, right? So the kids are in the back of the van, they're looking out at all these lights. You got to find Piper the Penguin, right? And you're listening to the music, and those of you who have been there, you know, like you drive by the ball field, and it looks like the snowman's going to hit a home run. Like, it's just really, really neat how they all put it together. It's thrilling. But for me, what's thrilling to me about it, what fills me with awe and wonder, is not necessarily the lights themselves, but like just looking around, and I'm thinking about how much time, how much effort is being put into this light display to put it all up, to take it all down year after year after year. Last year, we took the kids to the lights at the Our Lady of the Snows Shrine in Belleville. And, you know, those of you who have been there, you know how amazing it is. You just look at all of these lights, but you also know that these lights are all plain white, almost all of them, plain white lights. So, again, you know, we're driving through there, and I am honestly thrilled. You know, I'm filled with awe and wonder looking at all of these light displays. But in the back, Zachary is getting frustrated, because he doesn't understand why there are no colorful lights. In particular, he wants to see blue, because blue has always been Zach's favorite color. So we drive through there. We're getting ready to leave. We've literally just seen millions of lights. It's amazing. We drive out of there, like into the neighborhood around, getting ready to come back to Hoyleton. And we see a little house on the side of the road, you know, just normally decorated, not bad, like just a nice looking house with some lights on it, but there happened to be some blue lights on the bushes in the front, and Zach saw it, and that was what was thrilling to him. He's like, look, there's blue! This is the best thing I've ever seen! It's like, really just the simple things in life, you know, can be thrilling. So I was looking at this hymn verse again, you know, the voice, the thrilling voice of John the Baptist, and what is that thrilling voice saying? It says, Christ is near, we hear it say. Some people hear that simple statement, Christ is near, and that might be a frustrating thing for them, right? Like, they might be looking for blue lights when in fact they are getting white lights, right? So for them, they hear Christ is near, and that's not thrilling. That's frustrating to them. They don't like that. Maybe it even makes them angry. But for us, for people who believe in Jesus Christ, to hear that he is coming soon, there is nothing more thrilling to us than a statement like this. And just look how you can see right away in the second line of the first stanza, that simple phrase, Christ is near, it's making things happen right away. Works of darkness are being put away. We are being called, right here, children of the day, right? We are not called to live in the shadows. We are not called to live in the darkness of night. But the righteousness of Christ coming to us makes us shine in the day. And I think the second stanza will get into this even more. So let's go ahead and sing stanza 2 now. Another way of asking what's thrilling to you is to say, what gets you out of bed in the morning, right? So this verse here is all about the news of Christ's arrival and how that gets us to kind of shake off all the sleepiness, right? All the sleepiness of our souls, where it's like we're constantly hitting the snooze button every 10 minutes. But to actually get up and live lives of repentance and love for our neighbors. I mentioned this in chapel to our students in school on Wednesday, but Traditionally, this is one of the ways to look at the entire season of Advent as if it were that time really early in the morning, just before the sun rises over the horizon. That's kind of where we're at in the church year right now, just waiting for the sun to rise on Christmas. And actually, if you can see this up here on the altar cloth, you see the way that the manger is depicted right in the center of it. It looks like a sunrise, right? It looks like the sun is coming up. So that's kind of where we're at right now, that moment in time. You're looking at the dark blue sky, but it's getting brighter and brighter, and the sun is about to come up. So if we look at this gospel reading here in Luke 3, you can see how that sunrise, wake up kind of imagery is also included in the message that John has for this crowd that's gathered to hear him preach by the River Jordan, especially the religious leaders who were part of that crowd. Because a lot of them had basically fallen asleep in a spiritual sense. There had been 400 years of silence from the end of the Old Testament era to the days when John the Baptist was called to go out and preach. 400 years. 400 years where no prophet was heard speaking the words of God to his people. That's a really, really long time. And people were kind of lulled to sleep during those 400 years. So clearly we can see by the way that John is preaching to them that people were not loving and serving each other the way that they should. They're coming up to him, asking him, what should they do? What should we be doing? Because clearly we're not already doing it. You know, we see that people were not already sharing things like their clothing and their food, as he mentions here. The tax collectors are stealing from their neighbors. The soldiers are intimidating people. But a new day was about to dawn. Jesus' earthly ministry was about to begin, and everything was about to change for good. The sun would be shining brightly, and all of God's people are drawn to him, drawn to that light. So now, let's sing the next two stanzas. So we're going to sing both of them together, stanzas 3 and 4 together. Now, here's where the hymn turns its attention on you and me. Because, obviously, we live at a completely different time from the people that John the Baptist was preaching to, but we still really need to hear his words. And we really need to take them seriously. The reality is, for us, we haven't just been waiting for the Lord for 400 years. We've been waiting for 2,000 years since our Lord Jesus Christ promised that he would return, and it seems like the longer that the church continues to wait, the sleepier we tend to become. We do have a tendency to be lulled into a state of complacency, where it seems like we almost forget about God at times, and we just kind of do whatever it is that our sinful desires want to do. Sometimes we just act like maybe God doesn't really care that much about the things that we do or don't do. Or it could be even worse than that. Maybe we do actually acknowledge that our God does become angry over our sin, and we just say, we don't care. We're going to dare God to do something about it. We need to hear the words of John the Baptist. We need his thrilling, awful voice to wake us up, to get us out of bed, and to fill us with that spiritual adrenaline that we need to be energized and to take our faith seriously. Now, I will say stanza three here, which we just sang, takes the fact that this is a problem and shows how it's not a problem that we can resolve it all by ourselves, right? So you see, like, the first place that this spiritual adrenaline brings us in that first line there is to the Lamb, right? Right to the Lamb. And like it says, let us haste with tears of sorrow, one and all, to be forgiven. So my friends, we have an opportunity to do this in just a few moments, to haste with tears of sorrow to be forgiven right here as we approach the table. We have this opportunity to receive what Jesus has to offer us, the fruits of his cross, his body, his blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. We often hesitate and drag our feet, but not Christ. Christ went with haste to the cross, and he boldly faced the wrath of God the Father, and in the process, he shielded us from the destruction that sin and death would bring into our lives, and that's where stanza four comes in, and that's where it's really, really powerful and really meaningful. Because, like it says, Christ is going to come in glory. And yes, the world is wrapped in fear, but he will shield us with his mercy. And with words of love, he will draw near to the people that he loves. There always has been, and there always will be, many people that will never wake up from their spiritual sleepiness. People with hardened hearts for whom the gospel is never going to thrill them or fill them with awe. Like I said, no offense to my son back there, but there's always going to be people who are looking for just little, small, blue light displays instead of the vast expanse of the bright white lights of heaven. But thanks be to God, you and I are roused from our sleep by Jesus. The voice that tells us that Christ is coming soon does thrill us. It does fill us with awe. It opens our mouths so that we can sing praises to him. So, let's do that with our fifth and final stanza. To God alone be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayers today, there are a few updates for you. Today, we will be lifting up in prayer Margaret Arning. She had been hospitalized last week, having some heart trouble. She was hoping to be home soon. She might already be home. I'm not quite sure on that, but it looked like she was going to be able to come home soon. We're also today going to be praying for Jim Meyer. This is the uncle of Ben Grody's fiance, Michaela Meyer. Jim had a series of strokes and is recovering slowly in the hospital. We will pray for Mike Bartlett once again today. That is the brother-in-law of Angie Schnicker. Mike is having his heart surgery, which has been scheduled for tomorrow. Finally, I wanted to mention that this is not printed in your bulletin, but we will be praying for Daniel Basson today, the brother of John Basson, who was in a bad car accident and was hospitalized. He is now home recovering and will be needing further treatments. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, as prophesied by Isaiah, who foretold the Christ. Remember those pastors whom you have called to proclaim your word today. Give them wisdom and courage as they admonish and absolve your people by your word, that your saints might be prepared for Christ's coming again in glory. Strengthen the faith of those you have gathered into this congregation, that their love may abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment. Lead us to approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea and our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Centralia. Have mercy upon them as they continue to work through an extended pastoral vacancy, and bless the efforts of their vacancy pastor, Miguel Tornieri. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, St. John the Baptist counseled penitent soldiers to go about their military duties according to your word. Remember those who serve in the armed forces, especially those who are connected to our congregation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Protect them from harm, give them wisdom and courage, and grant that they fulfill their duties honorably. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, as you call and gather us into your family, so bless the households of this congregation. Continue to sustain all those whose birthdays are this week, including Daryl, David, Callie, Anne, Ethan, Chris, and Linda. Bless husbands and wives, fathers and mothers as they go about their work of strengthening marriage and raising children. Be especially with those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Kevin and Carrie Hoogie and Alan and Eileen Spenner. Let their love abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, and fill their homes with the righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your forerunner prepared the way for the one who is mightier than all, your Son, Jesus. For Christ's sake, we entrust to you those in need of healing, comfort, and rescue, especially those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Carolyn, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We also lift before you those who are hospitalized or have recently been hospitalized, including Margaret, Carissa, Jim, Jacob, and Daniel. We lift before you Mike as he has his surgery coming up tomorrow. We pray that all would go well with him, that you bless the surgeon who will be working with him and will be your hands and feet. We also pray for those who have ongoing health needs and concerns, including Fran, Marvin, Lorna, Amy, Eunice, Ray, Beulah, Wayne, Art, Carlene, Andrea, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Nina, Linda, Marvin, Chris, John, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all those who are fighting cancer. Have mercy upon them, deliver them according to your will, and strengthen them in faith that they might be assured of your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, by the word of your servant, you prepared all flesh to see the salvation of God. Prepare also the hearts of all who kneel at your altar today to receive worthily Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite our ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We turn now to page 176 and we sing together the offertory. We now continue our service with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. We turn now to page 181, and we sing together the post-communion canticle, which is Thank the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 816, From All That Dwell Below the Skies. Praise. You may be seated. What a blessing it is to be able to gather together as God's people and to worship Him to start our week. We have a few things going on this time of the year. I want to highlight some of them for you. Today is a busy day here at Trinity. We are hosting a concert later today for Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School. Their band and choir students are going to be coming and doing their Christmas concert here at 5 o'clock this evening. The concert will last about an hour, and it will also feature some of the area Lutheran grade school students who have been taking lessons with Mrs. High, who is the music teacher over there at Christ Our Rock. And so that includes some of our students here at Trinity and Hoyleton. They will be in the concert as well. All of you are invited to attend if you'd like, but I also wanted to let you know that we will plan to live stream the concert. So if you can't make it here in person, you can watch it on our Facebook this evening at 5 o'clock. Wanted to let you know, Chimes are going to be rehearsing tomorrow night at 6. Tuesday night is the LWML Christmas party. This year, it's going to be held at the Eagle's Nest. So I know the ladies are excited for that. Dinner is going to be at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Take note of that. There's going to be a meeting at 5:30 for those who would like to carpool from here. So there's also some information there about some giving opportunities if you take a look at the bulletin blurb. Mixed Choir is going to be rehearsing on Wednesday before our midweek Advent worship service. So rehearsal for Mixed Choir at 6:30 up in the balcony. And then invite all of you to come and join us for worship. We are in the middle of our two-part series, Comfort and Joy, and we're doing on Wednesdays similar to what we're doing here on Sundays, where we're taking a closer look at some of the hymns. So this week for Joy, we're going to take a look at the hymn Joy to the World. So we invite you to come and join us for that, 7 o'clock this Wednesday. Also, want to let you know that those of you who are planning to put a poinsettia up here on the altar area for the Christmas season, we are asking if you would please bring those to church this Saturday at 1 p.m. And there's going to be a lot going on around here on Saturday. So we just want to make sure that for the flowers that you would wait until 1 p.m. to come and drop those off. Also, there's going to be our Christmas concert for Trinity. We're really excited about all of our special music coming back for this season. And so on the third Wednesday in Advent, which is coming up on December 15th, we're going to have our concert that night at 7 o'clock p.m. We hope you all can make it. And our PTL is going to be hosting some cookies and punch for everybody who comes to the service. That'll be following in our activity center over at school. In addition to that, the YPS Youth are going to be bringing back our live nativity. And so that will be set up, and that will be there before and after the Christmas concert on December 15th. Next Sunday, those of you who are wanting to come caroling with our youth, come and join us at 4:30. If anybody wants to make sure, we definitely stop at your house, either in town or close to town. Would you please let us know that by the end of the day on Friday? That will help us to prepare our route for next Sunday evening. Want to give everybody a heads up. If you are wanting any offerings to count for the 2021 calendar year, our final money count will be on Monday, December 27th. Any offerings that are turned in after that date will go into the 2022 offering. So just want to let you all know about that ahead of time. And I only have one more quick thing. I know several of you ordered Christmas signs. I was informed by Trinity Lutheran in Nashville that those signs will be ready on Wednesday. They thought they might be ready by today, but that wasn't the case. So they will be ready by Wednesday. I will put out an all call as soon as we have those signs here, and so you can come and pick them up, or else if you don't have time to do that this week, I'll make sure to have them with me here on Sunday next week. Anyway, are there any other announcements? That was a lot of stuff. Yes, Kurt. Men's Choir, thank you. Men's Choir is rehearsing tonight at 7 o'clock after the Christ Our Rock Christmas concert. Thank you, Kurt. Anything else? Yes, Martin and Steve. Oh, that's a good correction. Thank you. Mixed choir is at 6 o'clock, not 6:30. That'll be cutting it a little too close to the service, I guess, right? So 6 o'clock. The bulletin says 6:30, but it's 6 o'clock for mixed choir on Wednesday. Thank you very much. Anything else? Going once, going twice. All right. God's blessings to you the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.